Go ahead with your recording.
Thank you very much, Ricardo. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the SIIQ Who's Working Group call on the 15th of October 2013. On the call today, we have Mikey O'Connor, Amer Sadeh, Don Blumenthal, Alan Greenberg, Mark Anderson, Avi Doria, Christopher George, Volker Greiman, and Steve Metalitz. We have apologies for Marie-Laure Lemineur, Carolyn Hoover, and Frédéric Guillemot. From staff, we have Mirka Koenigs, Barry Cobb, and myself, Natalie Pervin. My apologies, and Lars Hoffman. I would like to remind everybody to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Natalie, and welcome all. We're still getting a few people trickling in, but I think we'll get underway. We've got sort of a short agenda, same as last time, sort of keep working on this issue that we've been working on for a while now. But we'll pause and let people update their statements of interest and offer suggestions for the agenda. All right, I don't see anything there. Thanks for everybody's comments on the list. I think we had a pretty vigorous discussion, and I did an extreme slapdash job literally minutes before the call started because comments were coming in right to the end. And so if I missed your comment, by all means, chime in. The easiest way for me to get it into the record today will be to paste it into the chat and then let me know that it's there, and I'll copy and paste it out of there into this document. And I have two versions of it. I have a Word version and a mind map version, which I think are pretty close. And I'll just sort of play it by ear, which one seems to be working better for us as we go. And if anybody, starts to have opinions and say, starts to feel like I'm going to start with the mind map just because I'm more comfortable there. But if you're uncomfortable with that and would like to go over to editing a Word version, there's one sitting right behind it. And by all means, let me know. Just to sort of replay the bidding, I'm going to just take a second and I pulled highlights out of the comments. I didn't pull the whole text out for anybody just because, I'm trying to sort of zero in. So, if I missed the meat of what you were saying, also feel free to set me straight. I'm going to start out. These aren't in any particular order. They're just sort of the order they came out of the email flow. I think Alan sort of kicked us off. He said, look, we want a high degree of comfort that ICANN, the registry involved, and the registrars involved will not be in violation of privacy legislation. So maybe one approach would be to have a sample of registrars and a larger registrants be involved in a consultation. And then, so I'm going to open and close these. I'm just sort of saying this to replay the bidding. Then Volker came in and with the comments, what are the terms? He's arguing that for the most part, existing T's and C's, terms and conditions, cover this. And then what are the data protection requirements that the registry operator must meet? So those were some questions that, I think both of those are good in responding with precision, which I was asking for, and so I applaud that. Then Steve came in with a slightly different set of questions that said, whether a registrant who is data is currently made publicly available through a registrar in country A should suffer any incremental legal harm or exposure if that same data were also made publicly available through a thick registry in the U.S., as is the case now with all registrations in U.S.-based thick registries that are sponsored by non-U.S. registrars. And the other question that Steve posed was, The review should also consider whether the current contractual framework can be used to ameliorate any harms found or whether it needs to be adjusted to accommodate this. For example, as an implementation matter, it could be useful for ICANN to provide guidance on how the longstanding contractual requirements that registrars give notice to and obtain consent from each registrant for uses of any personally identifiable data submitted by the registrant should apply to registrations involved in the transition. And then he refers to the relevance of the RAA. Then, I'm going to jump then to Marika's post, which, by the way, I thought was very helpful. It was helpful from my perspective for two reasons. You know, I thought this was a pretty big step forward, but then I think it's also, we're sort of in interesting and I think useful territory here by encouraging a dialogue between the working group and the organization that will have to implement the work of the working group to refine the language in ways that work for both. So I thought that was good. So, anyway, Marika says, here's a couple of ideas. The first idea would be that the working group recommends that as part of the implementation process, due consideration is given to potential privacy issues that may arise from the discussions on the transition from thin to thick whois, including, for example, guidance on how the longstanding contractual requirement that registrars give notice to and obtain consent from each registrant for uses of any personally identifiable data submitted by the registrant should apply to the registrations involved in the transition. Should any privacy issues emerge from these transition discussions that were not anticipated by the working group and which would require additional policy consideration, the implementation review team is expected to notify the GNSO Council of these so that appropriate action can be taken. And then a second idea was that to suggest that the working group recommend that following the adoption of this report and recommendations by the GNSO Council, the subsequent public comment forum prior to board consideration, as well as the notification by the ICANN board to the GAC, specifically requests input on any considerations related to the transition from thin to thick whois that would need to be taken into account as part of the implementation process. And then a very literally minutes before the call, Amr came in with a comment that said, addressing the transfer of registration data instead of exposure covers both scenarios. I may not have captured enough of this, Amr. The rights afforded to both existing and future registrants by legal privacy protections. I apologize. Yours came in so close to the call that I was literally juggling too many plates. I didn't quite capture that. So we can circle back around to that one if you want. Anyway, that sort of replays the bidding. I think at this stage of the game, I'd like to just open up the queue and sort of find out where people are at. I saw comments on the list that Tim that said that maybe Marika has gotten pretty close, and I'd be curious to see if that's true. That would be good if we can either get close or even resolve this. That would be a big step forward today. My goal is to try and get this done today, but it's an artificial goal. If we do, we do. If we don't, we don't. I don't want to put artificial boundaries on the end of a consensus discussion. If we can get there, that would be lovely. So with that, off we go. Alan, you're first.
Thank you. I put my proposal together because what I saw was an impasse coming up in that the messages we're getting back from ICANN Legal Counsel is that they're not in a position to go do a vast survey of, you know, country by country and jurisdiction by jurisdiction, or even in summary, to verify that everything is going to be perfect. That's not their job, number one. Number two, it's something that they're not prepared to tackle. And in light of that, I was trying to rephrase how the legal review could be done in such a way that we get the answers out, and accepting the fact that they're not going to do the work themselves at the national and international level. So it really comes down to having the experts who have a vested and a legal responsibility to have looked at it to get the answers from them. And I agree with Steve that, this is not really ICANN's job to protect the registrars and registries, but sort of collecting the information I thought could be construed to be their job. I think Marika's suggestion does the same end result in a different way by focusing on the privacy issues in the various comment forums and opportunities to comment before this is legislated, including the reference to the GAC, although I'm not sure the board has an explicit requirement to consult the GAC as implied in Marika's terminology, but nevertheless, the GAC has to be involved in this process. That almost addresses the question at the same time using standard ICANN processes. So in lieu of the new super legal review, just make sure that all the parties give a tacit nod to this process or identify potential problems before it goes ahead and is implemented. And so from that point of view, I can strongly support what Marika's saying. I think it needs a couple of tweaks in words, but I think it accomplishes the same end result as well as we are going to be able to accomplish it, that is, a strong feeling of comfort that going forward will not cause any problems to suddenly rear their heads. So from that point of view, I think I support it, and it's probably a cleaner implementation than what I was suggesting. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Tim, you're next.
I guess I agree with Alan there regarding some of Marika's suggestions. I think they address, it seems to me they address the concerns. Maybe not in whole, and I don't know if we'll get to a point where someone doesn't feel like they need to do a minority report. At this point, I'm not sure, we should spend a lot more time trying to avoid that. But I think what Marika suggests gets us really close, and I agree that, while I supported the idea of the legal review, I think just given the response from the legal staff, ICANN legal staff, maybe that, there's no point in trying to continue to go down that road specifically requesting a legal review. But I think what Marika suggests here really covers the major issues. So I would support us accepting that, those two suggestions as our resolution to this issue here.
Thanks, Tim. Let's see. Marika wrote in the chat. Says she's responding to Alan. Let me read that, and then I'll carry it back to Mark. Rick says, Alan, there's a requirement for the board to notify the GAC if they are considering policy recommendations that may have an impact on public policy, which in practice means that they are notified of any policy recommendations that go through the board, as the GAC is responsible for making the determination of whether it impacts public policy. And Steve is agreeing with Tim and Alan in supporting Marika's suggestion. And with that, back to you, Mark. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Mark. Tim and Alan both referenced ICANN Legal putting some boundaries on what they were and were not willing or able to do. I'm sorry, I must have missed that and all the flurry of activity. Could I get maybe Marika or somebody to summarize, what ICANN Legal, is willing and or able or not able to take on from a legal perspective. Thank you.
Marika, do you want to try that, or you want me to stumble along in my usual vague and incorrect, imprecise way? He said, hopefully.
Yes, this is Marika. I'm happy to try to respond to that question. Mark, if you want some further details, there was a message I sent to the list on the 9th of October, having spoken to some of my legal colleagues. And I just want to, you know, at the outset make clear that this is not ICANN saying, no, we're not going to do this. Basically, what I tried to explain in that email, that the request is specifically for the general counsel to undertake this work. It's basically saying that, you know, their main focus is actually on assuring that any policy recommendations do not conflict or contradict any existing ICANN policies or legal requirements that are applicable to ICANN. They are not in a position to provide advice to individual parties in different jurisdictions on whether or not the proposed policy recommendations are in potential violation of local laws. This is basically a responsibility of the parties affected or may require third-party consultation or review. So basically, what I was trying to communicate is if the working group would request this kind of more broader legal review, that is definitely a request that the working group can make, but it's not necessarily something the General Counsel's Office would be able to carry out. But that may be something that would need to be outsourced. And then, of course, we need to as well make a determination, you know, are the resources and budget available to do so, and if so, in what time frame. So I think I was just trying to, you know, distinguish the two things here and saying, this is what the general counsel can do, and I think it very closely aligns as well with the email that Steve sent to the list yesterday and some of the considerations that, you know, could be considered as part of the implementation-related discussions. But if we're more looking at a, you know, cross-the-board review of national jurisdictions, I think then you're looking at, you know, a different kind of expertise and as well, of course, a price tag that is attached to that in carrying out such work. So, again, both of those are, you know, perfectly valid if the working group wants to go down that path, but I just wanted to make clear at the outset on what the different implications may be with respect to timing and the process that may need to be followed from an internal perspective to get to those endpoints.
Thanks, Marika. I just pasted that little snippet in there. I'm going to take it out now that you're done. Mark, is that sufficient? Do you want to come back before I head up to Marika or Avery and the rest of the queue?
No. Yes, that was excellent. Thank you. And I found your email. So thank you, Marika.
Okay. Avery.
Thank you. I'm actually not able to support the recommendation that Marika's put up there. I think going to a legal review as opposed to requiring something like an issues report or a PDP on the issue right away was a compromise. And now to see the compromise, I understand, was something we didn't have the competence to do. Now it's something that ICANN Legal doesn't have a competence to do. That's fine. Then, as Marika says, we need to recommend that it be done. This isn't just about protecting registrars and registries and ICANN, though, of course, that's important. This is about protecting registrants. So if it takes going outside for a legal review to provide the confidence on risk mitigation for registrants as well as registrars and registries, then the compromise is still in place. Otherwise, if having competent legal review of this issue is not included, then for me personally, and obviously I haven't had a chance to talk to others of similar persuasions, and by the way, we're not acting as a group in this. We are acting individually. We are talking, and we're going back to our group. But, you know, this is a group of individuals, so that's why a working group is a group of individuals. That's what I'm saying. Personally, at the moment, without the legal review, I think we've lost any sense of a compromise. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery.
Objections, so that's why I put it in.
Yeah, and that's what I want. I was just going to give you a gold star for that, and I want you to check and see if I typing fast, so it's rough, but I want to make sure that I captured the objection well enough. And if I didn't, by all means, just redraft it and paste it in the chat and let me know, and I'll put it in there. Let's see. I think I'll go through the queue, but if we can sort of stay on this part of the conversation, I think that would be helpful. It would be very helpful, I think, to flush out more objections so that we can then circle back to seeing if there are ways that we can address them. Don, go ahead.
Okay. I didn't have time to go through all of Marika's message. I'm going to jump back and forth and do it now.
Don, are you still there? Am I still there? Can people hear me?
Don dropped out of Adobe Connect, so he
okay.
Audio as a result.
Oh, okay. Dang. Well, we'll watch for him in the queue and let him in. I think he might be traveling or some other unusual thing. Anyway, oh, Don, you're back. Or not. Don, can we hear you?
I think he's working from ICANN, D.C., so that might be the problem. Just kidding.
Yeah, that could be. Okay, well, I'm gonna use my godlike powers and see if I can. Oh, I can't. No, never mind. Well, we'll just keep an eye out for Don. Amr, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. This is Amr. I was just hoping someone could, maybe Marika or anyone else on the call, could maybe just clarify to me exactly what the language Marika is using is suggesting. Because the way I see it is that this is a recommendation, maybe apart from the final paragraphs on reaching out to the GAC, but this is a recommendation to basically just proceed with implementation of a transition to Thick Who Is and kind of watch out to see if any problems come up without actually looking into it first and checking to see whether there will be any problems during the implementation. Am I understanding this correctly, or did I miss something? I read it a couple of times, but I really honestly wasn't sure. So Marika's got her hand up. If she could clarify, I'd be grateful. Thanks.
Take it away, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think as I tried to explain as well in the message you sent to Don, that the idea behind proposing these recommendations is actually try to move away from trying to look for a problem that we haven't been able to identify yet. I think I gave some examples where we have a lot of experts on this group, parties that will be affected. Thick Who Is already in operation for many years. We have new GTLDs that will operate under the new system. We already had a transition. And at this stage, we haven't been able to identify any issues, any privacy issues related to the transition from thin to thick. Of course, that doesn't mean that there aren't any issues. There may still be issues, but we just haven't been able to identify them or write those down. So the idea behind this approach is saying, okay, let's instead of trying to focus all our resources and trying to find that problem or that issue, which may or may not exist, let's actually try to focus on how we can deal with any issues that may arise, that may still come up through our discussions or talking about the transition. So there's the first step in saying, okay, maybe we missed any experts in all the outreach we have done, and one obvious one is there, maybe the GAC. If we're talking about would this conflict with national legislation and in different jurisdictions, the GAC is there to raise the flag when it comes to a public policy interest. So one way to call this out may be, indeed, as part of the public forum that would follow GNSO Council adoption, to call this out as an item for specific input as part of that public comment forum, as well as requesting the board to do the same when they notify the GAC, and basically saying, look, this is a particular element where we would like to benefit from your expertise and local knowledge of these issues to provide us feedback on, are there any issues that need to be taken into account when we're looking at the transition from thin and thick. And through that mechanism, if any of those issues do come up as part of that public comment forum, it would still allow for that taking that back to the GNSO Council or even the working group to address. If that, if no one raises any issues at that stage or no problems are identified, you know, the board can go ahead and consider it and it will move into implementation. But nevertheless, even as part of the implementation, the recommendation is written in such a way that, you know, there is an implementation review team that the working group recommends be created that would consist of members of this working group that would work with staff on the implementation of those recommendations and as well with, you know, the affected parties. So still, if anything would come up at that stage, there is, again, this mechanism for the implementation review team to go back to the GNSO Council and saying, hey, you know, we didn't think it would happen, but we still have found something that we didn't think of or wasn't raised. Can we have a look at that, and how are we going to tackle it? And in my email, I also posted some language on the fact that there's also a mechanism for the GNSO Council to ask the board to hold implementation of a policy recommendations if they feel it goes contradictory to what they actually recommended. And, you know, as you know, in the report, we spoke quite broadly about these issues and the need for consideration of those. So I think that would be, you know, probably qualify on the bad nomer should those issues arise. So it's a try, kind of trying to have a step-by-step approach, but instead of trying to focus all our effort on finding a problem that may or may not exist, to actually try to focus on having mechanisms in place that would allow us to trigger action or an approach in addressing issues as they may come up through the different steps as we move towards implementation.
Thanks, Marika. Amr, I saw your hand go back up. Is this a response to Marika, in which case maybe I'll just hold you in front of the queue?
This is just a further clarification, if I may. I was wondering, most of the folks on this call have a lot more experience than I do on working at ICANN community. And my question is about the GAC. Are the GAC representatives of the governments, are they actually the right people to talk to when it comes to privacy concerns? From your experience, Marika and anyone else on the call, are they actually the right people to talk to? Because I never really got that impression that they were. I'm guessing there are other people who might be more specialized on these topics. I'm thinking like data privacy commissioners. I'm thinking of the Article 29 Working Party. I know that they've already sent a few letters to ICANN regarding privacy and who is. Maybe not privacy, but data retention, I think the letter was about. So wouldn't it be more constructive? And this is what I was hoping we would get from the legal review, is that we identify these folks, and during the implementation of the transition to ICANN, is to sort of get in touch with these people who should know what they're talking about and get their input as part of the implementation process. Thanks.
Let me finish typing. Don, I think you're next. Welcome back. Sorry you dropped. Go ahead.
Thank you. I think my biggest concern here about I'm trying to phrase this as mildly as I can. I think we need a broader view of the legal realm, and I'm talking about a survey. I'm not, you know, nobody expected GC to provide legal advice. But there are a lot of solid people out there who I think could and would be willing to provide guidance. I don't know how much they'll do it for free. Those obviously include folks like data commissioners, but on the other hand, it also includes people who are in private practice or are academics or people who, to be honest, don't have a vested interest in suggesting that there are privacy problems. These people have to be not only from Europe, but from APEC and a number of other locations. And I really think that this broader view is necessary because, to be honest, I've never seen any particular interest from the General Counsel's Office in pursuing privacy issues I'll leave it at that. Except when pushed.
Okay. Hang on, folks, while I type. Okay. kind of slide that one underneath Amr's follow-up one. That's okay, Don. There's a lot going on in the chat. Let me just roll back. Because, Alan, go ahead. I'll try and multitask.
Thank you. I'm going to try to not let my frustration come through. We're talking about being asked to prove the non-existence of unspecified issues. I don't think you can do that. You know, we can put onto the agenda that we need to prove the Loch Ness Monster doesn't exist, and we're not going to have definitive proof of that. If we cannot come up with a concrete theory or hypothetical of what the issues are, what the potential dangers are, I'm not sure going to more experts is going to help us any. And I really don't understand how we can go forward looking for a guarantee, and each time we can say, but we didn't consult the right people. If we can identify a handful of people who are willing to do it, then let's do that. But at this point, we are continually talking about verifying that there is no problem, there is no issue, when we can't define exactly what kind of issue we're talking about, or at least I haven't heard one that I understand. And no matter what groups we talk about, you know, we're not sufficient. The people within this group who care deeply about privacy have not been able to come up with the specifics. The companies who should worry about being sued have not found anything. We're now talking to the governments who have within their realm the privacy legislation that has to be protected and saying they're not going to be capable of identifying what the problems are. This looks like an unending task. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. There's an awful lot going on the screen there. I missed some of it. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with what Tim was saying in the chat, and that Marika's approach is probably the best way forward. But if Avery is hung up on the term legal review, is there a way to integrate that into Marika's text? I don't know if you can go back to Marika's text, but it seemed to me when it was on the screen that you could say it recommends as part of the implementation process a legal review that the implementation process include a legal review of potential privacy issues, and then go on from there. I guess my question is, would that be satisfactory to Avery?
Avery, you want to? I'm jumping the queue shamelessly. Avery's giving us a check mark. Marika, back to you as the surrogate for the general counsel's office. You want to react to?
Yeah, this is Marika. To me, the question then still is, what does the working group mean with a legal review? If it indeed is to address the question that is given there as an example, I think we already indicated that that will be something as part of the process. We need to get some guidance on what this legal review, what question is it exactly expected to address? And what more is expected beyond that? I can have the freedom, I think, as, you know, a bit along the lines of what Alan described, and saying, okay, there's some confidence that we'll tackle that as we think appropriate, whether that's through indeed talking through the parties that are affected, or, you know, I already referred to as well in the chat the EWG legal memo, which specifically has a section on transfer of data that I think, you know, should provide some good guidance as well, probably as part of the implementation discussion. So I'm a little bit cautious by putting a term in here where everyone may have a different expectation, and you know, at the end, staff will be blamed by everyone for not having done what you asked us to do, because we weren't clear what you were asking us for. So I think I'm still coming back to, you know, what is the actual question we're trying to answer or is supposed to be the subject of this legal review, and what are we expected to do beyond what I've indicated the General Counsel's office is able to commit to, and you know, if there's anything else beyond that, I think people will need to accept as well that that may require then additional considerations from a budget and resource perspective if that would indeed result in a very big review, because I think everyone should be very conscious that those things are very expensive and it's not something that we can just easily, you know, take off the shelves and run with.
Okay. Steve, is your hand up to respond to Marika?
Go ahead. I mean, I have a lot of sympathy for what she's saying, and sometimes, you know, there are virtues in creative ambiguity, but it's harder to appreciate, perhaps, if you're the one that's expected to deal with it. But I mean, it just strikes me that if we want, as part of the implementation process, people to think about potential privacy issues and how we can deal with those within our, if there are any that we haven't discovered, and I certainly sympathize with Alan's viewpoint that we've looked hard for them over the past year, you know, that there will be a, then the rest of Marika's text takes over and it says, here's a mechanism for addressing any such problems that are identified. You could call that a legal review because privacy is a legal issue. I mean, the only thing we're concerned about here really is I think, is whether the legal rights or legal interests of registrants are compromised in some way that can't be ameliorated within the current contractual framework. So that's the only reason I suggest it as a possible way of bridging this gap.
Okay. Wait a minute. There's so much going on. I have to take a slightly sluggish chair pause. Sorry, folks. Okay. So I'm going to continue through the queue, but I am going to point out that we seem to be edging towards a way out of this where we insert some carefully framed language describing a legal review, in Marika's draft. I think Marika's got a valid point. I think Steve agrees that we need to frame that carefully so that we don't ask for something that's impossible. And we got a tick mark out of Avery that if we could figure out a way to do that, that we might be on our trail towards success. So I think what I would ask is that as you who are in the queue comment, if you can figure out ways to build on what we're doing here, that would be very helpful. I mean, clearly if you had something very important going another direction, that's fine as well, but if we can focus on building this out, that would be great. Mark, go ahead.
Thanks, Maggie. It's Mark. So, I did have a question, you know, slightly different direction, but I'll hold on to that for now and sort of go back to the direction we're going. And certainly, I agree with what Marika said. We need to provide, specificity to ICANN Legal for any kind of request like this. Otherwise, it's simply unfair to them. And I think, what I saw in email earlier, I'm looking at, thread from Rich and, Rich and Volker and or Rick Volker and Alan, sort of provide some guidance in that. Rick points out, what he calls lunacy to look at. If you look at every possibility of a registrar from one jurisdiction talking to a registrant a registrant from one jurisdiction talking to a registrar in another jurisdiction, who then talks to a registry in another jurisdiction, who can then disseminate information from another jurisdiction to somebody in another jurisdiction altogether. I think there is a degree of lunacy there. You can't possibly cover all of that. But then I think, Alan, later gives, sort of a little bit of a blueprint there. He says, Alan, forgive me for paraphrasing you here, but, he says we want a high degree of comfort from ICANN, that there's not a violation of privacy legislation on the transition from thin to thick. And let's say I'm skimming down, it uses the high degree of comfort because, we can't get to an ironclad guarantee. The privacy world is too complex. I think that's a good point. So we need to, he points out, a sample, of some of the areas, such as looking at EU countries, Canada, and Asia-Pacific related. I think some of that is maybe the direction we could look at. Just some thoughts in that area. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. I'm, as always, frantic typing. Feel free to correct me as I go. Volker, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to speak to two main topics that were discussed earlier. One is the qualification of the GAC people as the right people to talk to. And from my private conversation with the GAC people that I've talked to is that none of them, or at least those that I've talked to, are not experts on privacy issues. And we've seen that also during the RAA negotiations when they first unilaterally accepted and supported the law enforcement suggestions, and then afterwards came back and said, but we also have these problems which needs to be taken care of. So they're not the right people to talk to, maybe to answer these questions directly, but they will be the right people to talk to go to the right people within their governments and get the answers that you need. So it's just a time-consuming process. So once you point them in the right direction, they will, in my experience, find out what you need to know. It just can take some time. In our case, almost a year for some of the questions that we asked them. The second point, that is something that I agree with the direction that we're going right now, is the scope of the legal review. That's one of the problems that I had with the original proposal from Avery, because a general legal review with no limitations into privacy issues and whois, that's an open-ended process that will never finish. So we need to have definite questions, tightly framed questions, and define those within the next 1 or 2 weeks and issue those as an advisory for the legal review that we're recommending. And I think then we're done.
Thank you, Volker. Again, let me type a bit. Tim, go ahead.
No, thanks for waiting. Tim Ruiz. The concern, where we're heading now with the legal review and trying to, get it focused or limited so that it's clear what we're asking. And I don't have a problem with going down that road. It just seems like we went down that road and we couldn't get there, and then we're all of a sudden full circle back there again. So my only concern with it is that we're just going to start another cycle where we're going to end up full circle and back here again. So at some point, we got to stop going around this circle and land on something. So if we can get there this time, great. I have some concerns about it. To just say that there should be a legal review, I'm okay with that too. But the only concern, the thing that I'd like to point out to Aubrey and Amr and others, including myself, because I've had concerns as well, that like concerns that they've had, is that, you know, if we're not careful with how we ask for this legal review, what we might be doing is providing the mechanism to just kind of gloss over the concerns, and then it doesn't ever get anywhere. Whereas I think what Marika is suggesting, it allows some windows of really good windows of opportunity for us to, you know, garner support and get those who need to be aware of what's going on here and whatever to get input to show what those concerns are, to express that there are concerns, and then get those things addressed. So whatever we do with the legal review, I hope we don't soften the rest of what Marika is asking for, because I think those things that she's suggesting are excellent and really give a lot of opportunity for the right issues to get raised and to be addressed, you know, to garner community support as needed, et cetera. But just to say a legal review, I think it's just a mechanism for everything to get glossed over, and then it doesn't go anywhere. So I don't think that's the only solution. But again, I just hope that we can try to address this quickly. Volker's saying another 2 to 3 weeks. I think that, you know, after that, if we're not somewhere where we can agree, I think we need to try to, you know, just cut bait and run.
Excuse me. Thanks, Tim. Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah. It's been an interesting conversation. I've been ready for you all to cut bait and run any time. I really do appreciate that we've been circling around, and I think in ever smaller circles, trying to find a point where, you know, as I say, but I've been ready for you to cut, and, you know, cut bait and run a long time ago. So if that's really what you want to do, do it at any point at which you're comfortable. I think that one of the problems we've run into here is that arguments keep falling into an absurdum. First of all, science doesn't prove things. It fails to falsify things. You know, we can argue over global warming if you like, and we'll find out that we don't all agree and it hasn't been proven. So the argument of we can't prove that we haven't even really done the inspection. So I very much like what Marika put forward, and I think that the notion I had was that it was suggested that, you know, and perhaps I've also partly suggested, is adding the legal review to this. Now, it's obviously, I thought that Alan, before he became a privacy denier, was you know, alluding for a way that we could get something that did a proper sample. I'm not asking that the full matrix of every registry to every registrar, every possible, you know, relationship be studied. That was never the point. If you take a proper legal sample to be able to get proper legal advice on the risk to registrants, registrars, registries, over the scope of the sample. And I think Alan got very close to describing it. I agree. We would need to write something, you know, fairly precise. And yet we may even do another circle while we were arguing about that wording. That's quite possible, though I don't think that's necessarily the case. So basically adding that content, having the implementation team, in other words, having taken off the table the automatic request for an issues report, either from the board, and we realized that there was a problem with that, or from the GNSO, which was my next thought, is that, no, giving it to the implementation team as yet another compromise in this whole circling around the point, giving it to the implementation team, as suggested by Marika, and just including this proper sampled legal review of privacy issues involved in the transition. And we can make the statement fairly tight, privacy, the difference of privacy regimes across borders is what's going to make the scope of the work bigger or smaller. I understand that you know, there's because I've seen it in many different locations in ICANN from many different staffers, is always under the mandate to say, wait a second, you know, be careful how you spend the registrant's money. And indeed, you know, I do look at that carefully and say, yes, we would be making a proposal to the board. The staff would obviously have to attach a budget statement to it as part of the board's decision procedure, say, to go outside and do this study would cost N, and the board would have to approve that extraordinary N, you know, as they can and do to do this. So the budget is an issue, but it's a decidable issue. There is a process for deciding that, and we are talking about ultimately spending registrants' money to make sure that we're covering registrants' privacy rights. So basically, I'm finding myself very much in the position of thinking that what Marika put down is great. I just think that we need that legal, international privacy legal thing, and I understand that the staff is not specialized in that, and so I kind of always thought it would need to go outside and kind of got stuck in this bubble for a moment of we can only do things inside. But no, I mean, there are professionals out there. We can go, we can get a properly framed study, we can bring it in, we can have the implementation team get it, and with all the other stuff. And to me personally, I think putting all that together does make a reasonable solution to the very wide, you know, scope of views we had at the beginning. So circling around a topic until you hit a compromise point seems to be normal and not problematic. But thanks.
Thanks, Avery. Mark, you're next.
Steve, I think it might be, I'm guessing it might be appropriate to let Alan jump me in the queue here.
I'm sorry. Alan, I haven't been paying close enough attention to the queue to know. So, Alan, if you want to go first, that's fine.
Well, I'm not next to the queue, but I'll go first. I have a very short one. I do
okay.
Object to be called a privacy denier. I don't believe I have said that.
Okay. I apologize. I'm a global warming denier. I'll freely confess that. So you're not a policy denier, but I definitely deny global warming.
On the other side, you said my wording got closer, but I really don't know which wording you were talking about, and I'd like if you could give some clarity on that. Thank you.
I think it's this wording, yeah. It's excuse me.
Okay, what I put in the email yesterday, or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think
one,
that...
Yeah, with the degree of comfort, that whole, yeah. So that would be a great starting place for the wording.
Yeah, so maybe I'll just pick that up and staple it in here. Oops, spazzed out.
All I was trying to say when I've been regularly asking for examples, theories, concepts, is some direction in which we can go to do this investigation instead of giving people a completely blank piece of paper and saying, is there anything wrong that you can identify with what we're planning to do? You know, I think we're asking people to prove negatives, and there's always going to be too much of a question left. If we can give some concrete examples, and again, they don't have to have existed, they're just hypotheticals, at least we know what the beast is that we're trying to identify. Thank you. Now I'll go back to being quiet.
Okay. Oh, I see what's going on. Mark is putting himself at the back of the queue. I look up and, gracious, it's all different. Aubrey, go ahead. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That was just a finger spaz. I didn't mean to put myself back in the queue.
Okay. I do note that we're getting very close to the top of the hour, so I'm going to draw a line under the queue at Mark, and then I want to take a snapshot of sort of where we're at and where we want to go from here. So, Mark, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. I guess being cognizant of the time here, I'll say, you know, I do think, you know, we're circling closer to a target. It's been said a couple times. It seems like we're moving closer to a, you know, a general consensus, which is very encouraging, considering, you know, where we started with this. I guess my next question, this doesn't necessarily have to be answered right now. You know, maybe we can, you know, take it to the email between now and the next meeting, but My next question is around, you know, what happens next? And let's just say, you know, we come to a consensus position, we submit our paper, the board approves it. You know, what happens, you know, next? And I think I'm more asking in terms of the implementation team and the implementation review team that Marika, you know, mentions. I guess I'm just not all that familiar with the, you know, the process as far as, you know, once a policy is recommended, how the implementation would happen. And, you know, also say, you know, if there's, you know, if you, even if you can point me to some place, I'd be happy to, you know, read or look up if it's documented somewhere. I guess I'm just asking for more information on what comes next. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. I see that Marika's hand is up. I bet that she's volunteering to help you out with that. Marika, over to you.
Yeah, this is Marika, and I'll try to be brief. I mean, implementation review teams are a relatively new concept under the revised PDP that came into force, I think, like 2 years ago now. And basically the idea is that, you know, when staff get the recommendations from the board after adoption, they start looking at it and they'll start working on an implementation plan. But there have been instances where questions may arise or where they may need clarification. So the implementation review team is intended to be a kind of soundboard for staff to work together on, you know, addressing any issues or items that may come up. In certain cases, there may be, you know, staff may look at a recommendation and say, well, in order to implement that, you may have approach A and B, which to us sound fairly identical, but there may be a preference from those people that actually developed the policy, so let's check back with them to see what they think. And I think in this scenario, I think it's also called out in the report that, of course, as we're looking at, you know, one party that will definitely be involved in this transition, that they would have a seat at that table as well to really go through, okay, how are we actually going to do that and what kind of safeguards would need to be in place. And I think the idea would be as well, in the language I propose, that, of course, through such conversations, issues may come up as well. And I think that's in a general context, whether our policy recommendations through the implementation process, issues may be identified. And then again, the implementation review team would be a mechanism to take those back to the council and flag those and say, hey, we actually came across something that we didn't anticipate. How should we go about that? And there's maybe one last note. The implementation review team typically consists of members of the working group that were involved in developing the policy recommendations, as the idea is that it, you know, it's really focused on the implementation and it shouldn't be on, you know, opening issues that were already closed or going again in the policy discussion. So it's really about focusing on how do we get the implementation plan together and how can the implementation review team serve as a kind of soundboard for staff to work through that implementation and you know, vet, sort of speak, the implementation plan that will come out at the end of the day and which normally is also posted for public comment and shared with some of the parties that will be affected by it.
Thanks, Marika. It's 10 o'clock my time, top of the hour for the rest of you, and I think we'll end it here. Marika, can I hand this giant set of notes to you and ask you to take a crack at a next draft of your proposed thing? I know it's not really fair. Or would you rather have us carry on the list a bit and refine this? How would you like to proceed? I think we're at a point where we need another draft that people can react to.
This is Marika. I think Tim made a very concrete suggestion in the chat, which I think, you know, indeed includes a legal review, makes very specific what it's about. I think we had conversations as well that, you know, the intention is really to have it as a kind of narrow focused approach in line as well with all the other elements in there. So I think some people said, I saw Amar and Roy saying, I hope that wasn't related to that they seem to be as well supportive of that approach. So that may be a relatively simple tweak and that I would be able to push out to the list later today, and maybe from that then people can say if anything else needs to be added to express, you know, the concerns that were put forward today.
Okay, I'm getting a mark from Avery. That's cool. Getting some support from Amar and Roy in the list, in the chat. So let's go that. It's 1 minute after the 2 minutes after the hour, and we really do have to wrap up. Tim is also agreeing, so I thank you all. I think we did pretty well today, and I appreciate people's patience with your hapless chair. I'm trying to get us through this as fast as we can, but these tricky ones, we just have to go at the speed they go. So thanks again, and we'll... Thanks, Aubrey. And we'll see most of you on the list. It's too bad that Aubrey's going to be at the IGF, but yeah, please do try and follow on the list.
Will.
And we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
That's it for me.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you very much, Ricardo.
Bye-bye.
And also the recording.
Bye. Bye.